Sairam, dear listeners, till now you have heard the live segment Afternoon Satsang by brothers Prem and Arvind. And it's now time for us to go to the next segment of this Thursday Live, that is the Radio Sai Veda Jignasa program. And to take you across this segment is Ganesh of Team Radio Sai, and along with me is Brother Bhargav.
Sairam Ganesh.
So, Sairam, dear listeners, at the outset, we would like to collectively offer our humble salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and with a humble prayer that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration, we shall commence today's class with the Ganapati Prarthana Mantram.
गणानान्त्वा गणपति गुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणाम् ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन् नोतिभिः सेदसादनम् प्रणो देवी सरस्वती वाजेभिर्वाजिनीवती धीनामवित्र्यवतु गणेशाय नमः सरस्वत्यै नमः श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम्
सो भार्गव इन् दि प्रोसेस् आफ् ब्लासमिङ्ग् दि इण्टेलेक्ट्
यस्
हौ फार् हेव् यु रीच्ड्
You know, we have enjoyed the Chitram and Vichitram of God, you know, last episode. It was so beautiful. So when you go to the next episode, the next verse, before that, I think very pertinent and a relevant thing which I read somewhere is about the two type of fools who exist in this world. So let's see whether we fall in any of them or not.
It's very interesting because on one side, we are talking of wisdom and intellect.
Yeah.
And today, you are going to start the class with fools.
Fools, yeah. So, that how we should not be.
Okay.
So, one is that person, that category of people who think that this body is permanent, the sense pleasures are permanent, this world is permanent, and whatever belongings I have, whatever relationships I have, this is permanent. So, the body consciousness, the body attachment, that is the first type of fool. So, yeah, this we all know because when we study spirituality, when we read Swami's teachings and all, we understand. But Swami always warns of the second type, which is very, very, we should be very careful. The second type of a fool is that who thinks that he has studied Vedas, Upanishads, scriptures and all types of learnings, which so-called spiritual texts, he has studied all that, he or she, thinks that I'm wise now, I have got wisdom. That is, I think, more dangerous because Swami says, Chadvi Chadvi Chhavanga Netiki. Means, you die reading. You should learn that vidya which will give you immortality.
Immortality.
And the problem with this type of foolishness is that it doesn't give you immortality. It actually binds you more because, as you told, it was ego. The ego which actually comes in the middle and says that I know everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's more dangerous.
It's very interesting to know the two types of fools. I hope Swami does not allow us to fall into either of the categories.
Yes. we pray, yes.
That is why every class starts with an offering.
Yes.
That every thought, word and deed is His inspiration.
Yes.
We should be very, very careful. Yeah.
And that's why when you said blossoming of the intellect, so when the intellect blossoms and when we take Medha Suktam as a prayer, probably Medha Devi will take us away from these two type of foolishness.
Yes.
And gives us wisdom.
Exactly. So when we talk of foolishness, I think the cause for foolishness is lack of knowledge.
Yes.
Or as what Swami tells, it is avidya.
Yes.
So, when we see that the first type of fools, where they think that the body and this world and the mind are permanent,
yes,
they are the first type of fools.
Mm.
And the second of which you have shared, that those who are knowledgeable are thinking that we know everything.
Everything, yes.
So, that is because of ego. And the first type is, I think, because of ignorance.
Ignorance, yes.
So, Swami beautifully in one of the discourses which He delivered in the year 1996, on 25th of July. Swami beautifully tells, what is the reason that one is unable to experience peace?
Yes.
So, this is what Swami gives the explanation. There are five types of roots of sorrow.
Okay.
In brackets, Swami tells those as kleshas.
Kleshas, okay.
That cause suffering to humans. These are ignorance, ego, sense, desire, hatred, and fear of death.
Okay.
So, Swami, there are Sanskrit names for those terms. Avidya, which is ignorance. Ego, asmita. Then sense, which is raga. Hatred, that is dvesha. And then fear of death, which is called abhinivesha.
Okay.
And then Swami goes on to explain what is meant by avidya. Vid means knowledge. Therefore, avidya signifies lack of knowledge. What is that lack of knowledge? It is not the lack of worldly knowledge. It is the lack of knowledge of one's divine nature. One considers oneself to be an ignorant immortal due to avidya.
Okay.
It is impossible for such a person to achieve peace. One who is in the grip of avidya leads a worldly life, identifying with the body and mind and lacking the wisdom to know that one is divine. Body attachment and attachment to the world cause immense suffering. All this is a result of avidya, which causes untold suffering to humans.
So beautiful. So how apt, like whatever we had asked just now, we had raised these two questions, two type of foolishness, two type of fools. Swami has given a beautiful answer to that.
Exactly.
So nice. So with this probably an introduction, if we get into the next verse which we are chanting. Medha
ma indro dadatu medhan devi saraswati. Medha me ashvina ubhavadhattam pushkarasraja.
So if you just take the meaning, it's like, oh Lord Indra, give us medha shakti, mother Saraswati, because she is the deity of intelligence and intellect. Please grant us the intelligence and intellect which blossoms. And then comes, interestingly, in the third part is the deities Ashwini Kumaras. Anyway, Ashwini Kumaras also we will probably touch up in the end. First, I think if we just take up Indra and Saraswati only, it's like so many things which we can just talk about. First thing which comes to my mind, Ganesh, is Indra is... In the Vedic times, it seems Indra was a massive deity. Like he was a very important deity. Because in all the Rig Veda, Yajurveda, other Vedic texts, he was mentioned a lot and he was mentioned with a lot of reverence. And if you take the basic meaning of it, he represents raw courage.
Raw courage.
Courage. Courage and the courage to fight. And he was a warrior. Probably later on... due to the Puranas and all, it got little diminished. His stature was diminished. So that's one thing. And there's a very famous episode of Vrutrasura. He kills Vrutrasura. So if you just go to, you know, again, we have been reiterating this so many times. Anything which comes in Sanskrit, in our Sanatana Dharma literature, there's always a very deeper meaning to everything which happens. So if you just go to Vrutrasura, Vruta means something which envelops.
Engulfs.
So, engulfs or envelops something. So, this is something which envelops our intellect. Vrutrasura is actually nothing, is not a demon who's outside. It is that power which actually envelops and obscures our intellect. So, if you take Indra, like we had discussed this earlier also once, Indra is the master of the senses. So, if the intellect is blurred and it's obscured by this power called Vrutrasura or something, so we will fall in the first category of fools.
Yeah.
Thinking that this world is everything, this body is permanent and everything, all the sense enjoyments are permanent. So to remove that, Indra takes up this battle with this Vrutrasura and vanquishes him. And one interesting thing is... before vanquishing him, it seems he drinks soma.
Oh.
And then he vanquishes him. So, means when when the intellect, the master of the senses, who it is a mind, if it is intoxicated with Brahmananda or intoxicated with God consciousness, automatically you can annihilate this probably that layer of ignorance, the veil of ignorance which is obscuring or darkening your intellect.
Beautiful.
So beautiful this is. And one more nice symbolism which we all see so commonly is the symbolism of Nataraja. You know, Nataraja, if you notice, there is a small dwarf who has been trampled by
Apasmara.
Beautiful. This name also is so important that Smara is something which we remember. Apasmara is
forgetfulness.
And then he stands for all these things, like again the one which we talk about, the fools. He stands for nonsensical speech. He stands for ignorance. He stands for forgetfulness. Someone who forgets his true nature, all these things he stands for. So Nataraja, in his dance, he tramples him directly on his
spine
and breaks the spine. You know, you say breaking the back of, whenever you break a back of someone means
that is end of it.
End of it, yeah. He gets totally immobile. So he is breaking the back, and there is a slight hint in that. In his beautiful pose of Nataraja, it's a legendary pose, because no one else, in the words of Aldous Huxley, he's one of the scientists, he says that in any religion, in anywhere, the symbolism which is there in Nataraja is not found anywhere else. Beautifully it integrates every aspect, metaphysical aspect, the spiritual aspect, psychological aspect, all aspects come. So not getting into that. So there he says that the left foot is raised. So, and the left hand shows the left raised left leg, and there's an abhayam. And you know it's beautiful because you're a dancer yourself. You know these things. Yes. You have done this pose so many times. So in this case, what happens is Nataraja is telling that if you take refuge in this raised, upraised leg of mine, I will give you abhaya so that your apasmara is destroyed. So beautiful it is.
So beautiful.
So in the same way, Medha Suktam, we are asking her, give me that understanding, like how Indra is more or less the same way in this context. Indra is doing the same thing what Nataraja is doing there. He is annihilating the Vrutrasura.
Exactly.
So in this case, again, when we chant this, there are so much of thoughts we can think about when we chant. That remove my ignorance, make like blossom my intellect, so that I understand the true nature of what I am, and then conduct in this world.
Exactly. I think I am reminded of a very beautiful incident where the true nature of oneself, when you are knowledgeable, the second type of, maybe I don't call it fool, because here we are referring to an individual who was very, very knowledgeable. How ego takes you and diminishes your intellect.
Yeah.
And in front of God, when that is done, obviously Nataraja, Swami beautifully tells in one of the discourses, I know the pain of teaching each and every step.
Yes.
Being the cosmic dancer.
Beautiful, yeah.
So this was one step that Swami had taken to make this scholar realize that what he is doing is wrong.
Correct.
So this happened in Trai Vrindavan. So this happened in the old bungala of Vrindavan.
Oh, this before Trai.
Before the Trai Vrindavan. Then there used to be a room called the safe room, where very few students and staff and very handful of guests were allowed into that room, a very private room where Swami used to spend a lot of time with the students and staff.
Okay.
So then this scholar who had come to have Swami's darshan, he was very surprisingly allowed inside. And then on the first day of his arrival, he was standing right in front of the door. And Swami, as he was coming out of his room, he received the flower that was offered by this scholar. And then he prostrated at full length to Swami. And then he started reciting the pravara.
Okay.
And then he takes a pradakshina of Swami. and then does Ahambo Abhivadaye.
Means you introduce yourself. And then bow to the Lord.
Lord. So Swami was very pleased and he blesses him. And then he goes for the session.
Mm-hmm.
The scholar is so impressed and so happy with what Swami had done to him. The next day, when all the students were standing around him.
Around the scholar. Okay.
Waiting for Swami to come.
Mm-hmm.
He tells all the students to just move aside.
Mm-hmm.
So that Swami would come, take his flower. And then he prostrates to Swami. And then he makes a circumambulation to Swami. And then tells his pravara.
Mm-hmm.
So this was what he had in his mind.
Yeah.
But Swami had other plans.
So that small ego has come up. I've got chance to do the
offering to him. So then Swami comes and so beautifully ignores the ignorance of the scholar. And then he just goes into the safe room.
Mm-hmm.
And the session continues. This goes on for almost 3 to 4 consecutive days.
Oh, Swami ignoring him.
Yes.
The treatment.
Yes. And this scholar is worried as to what exactly went wrong. He was not able to make out why Swami, who was so loving on the first day, is just ignoring me like he was not even existing there.
Mm.
So then on the final day, when he was about to leave, he understands what mistake he committed.
Mm.
He tells to himself, no, I have to ask for forgiveness. And then when Swami comes out, he tells Swami, I am very sorry. Please pardon me for my behavior.
Mm.
And then Swami so lovingly, he blesses him and then asks him to continue the procedure which he follows.
Yes, okay.
Offering the flower, then prostrating to Swami, taking a circumambulation, and then final introduction of himself as Ahambo Abhivadaye.
Mm.
At that point of time, Swami beautifully plays a pun on the word Aham Bo Abhivadaye.
Bow down.
Bow down your ego and then offer your prostrations to me.
So beautiful.
Such a beautiful lesson in just a single word.
Yeah.
How lovingly Swami had conveyed the message to that scholar that ego is not good for you.
So, actually, so nice. That means in the whole prayer, whatever we chant in Medha Suktam also everywhere, our prayer should be if we just pray for the removal of our ego, everything else comes to us. Na?
It's so Swami simple. Beautifully tells, the only thing that stands between you and me is your ego or your mind.
So, yeah.
So, when that is removed, you can see your reflection in whatever being you come across.
Yeah, and then moving to the next, I think so much more we can discuss on Indra, but now we are going to Saraswati. You know, Saraswati, Mother Saraswati has been so special to students, especially when you see. So, we just found two very nice meanings for the word Saraswati. There might be more, listeners can throw some light on them.
Yes.
Two words, two meanings of this word. One is Sara Sva. Sara is essence. Sva is of oneself.
Mm.
Ti is that being or that deity or that mother who makes us understand what our essence is, what I am made of, my actual essence is Saraswati. So beautiful it is. It means she'll actually tell us what is our true nature, which we're just telling, so that we don't become fools.
So that is wisdom.
Wisdom, yeah. Mm. The second thing is, Saras is a flow. Saras is like a small stream. Saraswati, the one who flows. So in this, the meaning comes as that being who flows like consciousness in this whole universe.
Mm.
That which flows like consciousness, flows like awareness in this whole universe, permeated in every atom, every inch of this universe, is that force or that principle is Saraswati.
Mm.
So one is, Swami always says, Raso Vaisaha. I am in the form of Rasa essence. In all of you, essence in all of you. So, in this, probably, we can ask for Vidya, we can ask for good wisdom, we can ask for different arts, music, fine arts and all that, because Mother, we call her Chadula Talli in Telugu, means She is the mother of all
education.
So we can ask for normal education. But you know what? I think this is, it always indicates that you should ask for that ultimate knowledge, which tells you what is the true essence and which makes you understand what is that which flows in this whole universe. Mm. So these are the two beautiful components which we thought we will just share. Mm. Anything on any special, any sweet experience where Swami showed that he is nothing but Saraswati?
Actually, there is a very very moving experience actually. Mm. Indirectly, that Swami guides one of the senior most Balvika's teachers and proves to her that he is none other than the goddess Saraswati. How Vidya can be imparted just like a flow to the people who are not even aware that they can be granted that Vidya. So this happened with one of the Balvika's gurus by name Padmalata ma'am. She is from Orissa. Her husband gets transferred to Malda, a district in West Bengal.
Yeah.
So then, and she is very, very scared that because she is not aware of the language and the atmosphere of that place.
Mm.
She is scared to go to that place, leaving all the Balvika's classes that she used to very sacredly attend to. Then they had to go. They had no other option. So this was a practice of her that every day she gets up in the morning, does the Suprabhatam, Omkaram Suprabhatam, and then follows her routine as Swami had laid down. During one of the Omkaram Suprabhatam sessions, she hears a voice, obviously she hears Swami, telling, "Why are you sitting here in front of me when a boy is sitting outside right next to your door and smoking a cigarette?"
Wow.
She is taken aback. "Why? What is it that I am hearing when I am praying to Swami?" And she is very confused. And this Swami's voice is so clear that she gets up from the prayer and she goes outside to see whatever Swami had guided her was absolutely true.
Mm.
And there sits a boy smoking a cigar, hardly 12 to 13 years old boy. And she comes to him and with her limited knowledge of Bengali, a mix of Hindi, Oriya, Bengali and English, she tries to convey whatever she could, that what he was doing was wrong.
Mm.
And then he is taken aback because that was the first time that he had experienced such affection and love towards him.
Mm.
And then he tells her that, "Yeah, I stay in the nearby slum area."
Mm.
Then she gets up and a couple of days before this, Swami shows her a vision that she is taking a class in somewhere in the slum areas.
Mm.
And she is not able to understand what exactly that vision was.
Okay.
And then she tells her to her husband that, "This is what I am seeing. I don't know what Swami wants me to do." Then he tells her, "You just surrender yourself to Swami. Wherever he wants you to go, he will take you himself." And then this boy takes this madam to the slum area. And then she sees what a traumatic situation she faces, that the newly born children are fed liquor directly into their mouth instead of mother's milk.
So pathetic. Huh?
So that was the condition of their state.
Mm.
And then they were such a raw group of people that when she was going to take the first class of Balvikas in the rickshaw, she sees a group of people sitting around a bonfire and then tying four sticks and hanging a pig, a live pig,
on it,
on a stick.
Okay.
And then they keep playing with that live pig by rotating it, and as the pig gets heated under the fire, the entire flesh of that pig gets splashed.
Bah.
And they are enjoying that particular scene.
Mm.
And imagine the children of those people how raw and what do you call rude they would be. And then with this difficult situation at her hand, at her disposal, she doesn't know what to do. She goes to the slum. The first day when she starts the class, to her utter amazement, she just surrenders to Swami and tells, Swami, how can I take a Balvikas class to these children who are not even like... It is very
difficult to even
very,
explain.
Difficult to even explain.
Don't have the basic civil civility, or you can say the basic common sense. How a life should be led.
And then to her utter amazement, she starts with Omkaram, Ganapati Pradhana, and Saraswati Mantram. Saraswati Namastubhyam Varade Kamarupini. And then she starts singing a bhajan. She couldn't believe herself. The children were just repeating verbatim whatever she was telling, which was totally unbelievable.
Okay.
Imagine a group of street urchins just repeating Omkaram Bindu Samyuktam Saraswati Namastubhyam, and with such fervor and with such divine bhavam that she was taken aback, and for I think 3 continuous years she had taught Balvikas there. And the entire group of people were transformed because of the children who were attending the Balvikas.
Oh, wow, so nice.
Imagine how much of Saraswati Kataksham they would be having to have received such grace from the Lord.
Correct, correct. So beautiful. Huh? Yeah. So means, in a way, Swami himself taught through her, and yes. Swami became Mother Saraswati, who imparted that knowledge to those kids, and then probably got them to like Swami said, good human beings. At least don't become Pashus. So they were in Pashutvam. Swami made them into Manavatvam. So beautiful. So this is one thing. If you just go to, otherwise also if you go to the iconography, the symbolism of Mother Saraswati, you know, it's replete with so many different interpretations. Na? It's like, so one thing which comes to my mind is what we have just gone through, her white attire. Everything is white. The swan is white. The lotus is white. She wears white clothes. She has a white spatika japmala. So everything only talks about purity. You need to be pure. You need to be pure. And then you see the Navaratris also. The last three, like first is the tamasic component is vanquished by Mahakali. Then Mahalakshmi, the Ratsik, and then Satvik comes Mahasaraswati. So the final culmination of everything is that purity which you need to develop. And probably when you are explaining the two type of foolishness which you had mentioned in the beginning, so probably the first one you're telling ignorance. Ignorance is more of a tamasic quality where it has to be vanquished. Second one is you told ego. Ego is more of a Ratsik quality. So if you vanquish both of them, then actually you step in into the realm of Satvik, Mother Saraswati. And then one more interesting, you know, whatever we see, we just see it as a normal icon or an idol or a deity. But everything in that, whatever has been put with so much of meaning. So one thing which I read was very interesting was her 4 hands. Actually, the 4 hands depict the 4 antahkarnas, that is Manas, Buddhi, Chitta, Ahankara. So she plays with all the 4, and she's always beyond it. And when you actually pray to her, she'll take you beyond these 4 aspects. So one more thing which struck me very prominently, significantly in this was the concept of Chitragupta. Chitragupta is very interesting. You know, Chitragupta is the one who sits with a big book, and then he'll keep noting down what you've done good, what you've done bad, and all that. And then they say that
he has a list of whatever you've done.
And when you pass away and all whatever, then there'll be a judgment day, and then it's okay, this is what you've done and all that. But if you actually see why this thought came to me was that Manas, Buddhi, Chitta, Ahankara. Chitta is what gets recorded, and Ahankara is after that what I feel about it. So, Chitragupta. Chitra is a photo. Gupta is secretively. So the Swami says, now whatever acts we do in our life, they get recorded in our subconscious without our knowledge. So probably Chitragupta is not in somewhere else. He is in our mind only, in our subconscious mind. He is recording, like, whatever we do, whatever we see, whatever we smell, or whatever acts we do every day, like a snapshot of it, a small picture of it, image of it gets recorded in our subconscious and actually makes our mind. If you do good things, Swami says, you get good things. If you do bad things, you'll get bad things. So Chitragupta is nothing but who's sitting inside us in the form of those, I don't know, probably he's clicking.
It is the register of our mind.
Yeah, probably he's clicking the photos from whatever we are doing and then recording it in our subconscious. But Swami says, when you have Jnanam, like we had mentioned it in Durga Suktam, Jata Veda, if the Jnanagni is generated, and purity, because of this whiteness and the purity of it, generated, then whatever photos are there, they just shift delete, I think. Not even going to recycle bin. Directly shift delete. So everything, whatever we have done, Swami says, many times Swami says, if you pray to me, all your karmas are just wiped out. Because if he wills, he can do it. So here probably when we pray to Mother Saraswati and she showers her grace, so probably all the Chitragupta, whatever he has recorded in our mind, subconscious, everything with one trice, one shot, she'll just annihilate everything and make us pure.
So this is one part of the story. The other part of the story that is getting triggered in my mind was when you tell things are imprinted in your subconscious mind. There was this one incident that happened when Swami used to continuously come to the hostel and give discourses to the boys. And Swami was speaking on Brahmajnana, on Atma, Paramatma, all kinds of high spiritual stuff. And then
we call it bouncers.
Bouncers. We call it bouncers. And we know, as we have experienced it, whenever Swami gives a discourse, we sleep. That is the best experience we had. And then warden sir prays to Swami that, Swami, every time you give a discourse, so much of effort you are putting into giving the discourse. And then you see the boys sleeping right in front of you, not listening to the discourse. Why do you waste your time and energy on these boys?
Yeah.
That was the prayer of our warden, sir. And then Swami, so lovingly, he tells, no, I am not wasting my energy. Whatever I am speaking, even if they are sleeping, even if they are running, even if they are playing, it gets imprinted in their subconscious mind.
Yeah.
It enters them and it registers. And when the time comes, when the hour of need comes, the knowledge which is there in them automatically will come up, it will sprout.
Sprout, okay.
And then it will come to their rescue.
It will manifest.
It will manifest as a solution for their problem.
Okay.
And imagine how many discourses you would have slept and how much of knowledge you would have acquired.
Not, Ganesh, not only that. Probably this is when we heard him live. But probably this even applies to, if I just go driving my car or I just going on my scooter and I put my headphones, I'm listening to the discourse channel of Swami. So whatever discourses I'm hearing, even if they don't make sense to me that time, according to this message of Swami, it's actually getting into my subconscious.
Yes.
So he's wiping off what Chitragupta is sitting and writing.
Exactly.
Probably breaking the pen of Chitragupta and writing, wiping it and putting Swami's own teachings in our mind.
And so many people have this habit of turning on Swami's discourse while sleeping.
Yes.
So that the entire night gets sanctified by the voice of Swami.
So probably all these things which they are doing, even if they think that we are sleeping, we are not attentive, we are not listening, Swami is doing his work. You don't need to bother it. We don't need to bother. He is getting into our mind without our knowledge.
Exactly.
Like how he comes to our life without our knowledge.
Yeah.
So beautiful. So if we, there are so many other things in, just if you talk about Saraswati, Mother Saraswati herself, the Veena itself is, I think this will, we may need to take it up next week probably, because the Veena symbolism is so profound. We were ourselves dumbstruck when we read it, and so many aspects to it. So probably we'll just take it
Veena
up.
Itself will take one episode.
One episode for us to cover, yeah. And then when we go to Ashwini Kumara, so I think that's also something very interesting. Mm. And then probably when we go unraveling these things, we come to get so many precious pearls which are so special. Mm. And then probably then I think after all this, now when I chant Ganesh, Medha Suktam has a different meaning altogether.
Exactly. we can visualize the whole...
Yeah, when Indra comes, we are annihilating Vrutrasura and Apasmara, and then we are chanting Saraswati, Mother Saraswati's name comes, then probably the play of the four hands and how she annihilates all that. So beautiful. So with this, probably we will just take up the next part of this, that is the Ashwini Kumaras and the Saraswati Veena.
Iconography of Mother Saraswati.
Because I think this is an apt context to take it up, because Medha Suktam we are dealing with, and then Mother Saraswati's mention has come here in this part.
So with these few thoughts, we shall bring this episode to an end, and with a prayer that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration, we shall conclude today's class with the Kshama Prarthana Mantram, and to remind all the listeners that whatever you have in your mind about this Medha Suktam, you can please share your thoughts and feedback to listener@radiosai.org or WhatsApp it to
9393258258. तत्सर्वं क्षम्यतां देवा नारायण नमोस्तुते विसर्गबिन्दुमात्राणि पदपादाक्षराणि च न्यूनानि चातिरिक्तानि क्षमस्व सा ईश्वरा अपराधसहस्राणि क्रियन्ते हर्निशन्मया दासोऽयमिति मां मत्वा क्षमस्व सा ईश्वरा अन्यथा शरणं नास्ति त्वमेव शरणं मम तस्मात् कारुण्यभावेन रक्ष रक्षसा ईश्वरा हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीसाईश्वरार्पणमस्तु
फ्रॉम अ फ्यू मोमेंट्स फ्रॉम नाउ You will be listening to the live Telugu segment, Shri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Jari. Stay tuned to Asia Stream. Sairam, happy listening.